Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, listening audience. Thank you for tuning in to Talk Straight and being a part of a national dialogue designed for proactive change. This is your host, Reverend Dr. Reuben Dockery. I'm grateful again to engage each and every one of you in very important conversation. I need your help as I endeavor to take this message and the conversation we share on air to targeted cities and urban areas across America with the hope and desire to improve the quality of lives by engaging communities and proactive strategies. You can be of great help by going to our webpage, www.bfcinstitute.com. Click on the donation tab or the contact us tab and find ways that you can assist us by either purchasing our items or just making a donation on our secure PayPal site. If you are a business or someone who would like to make a corporate level contribution and you would like more information, please give me a call at 615-498-4669 or send me an email at bfcinstitute@gmail.com. That's bfcinstitute@gmail.com, or give us a call at 615-498-4669. We are glad to share with you and provide you all the necessary information to help you make the decision to support us in our traveling lecture series.
Well, greetings and welcome to another episode of Talk Straight. This is your host, Reverend Dr. Reuben Dockery. Grateful that you can join us again on this September 9th, 2021. Can you believe that? We're already in the ninth month. Okay, time is moving on. Feel free to give us a call here, 657-383-0944. That is the number to call tonight in the studio and to participate with us in this stirring dialogue, challenging dialogue for us all. All right, let's get into it. A weapon is an instrument used to injure, to defeat, or to destroy a contender, eliminate a threat. Two weapons used in societies all over the world continue to be the Bible and a gun. Those are two primary weapons that people use. The question is, which of these two weapons is more deadly or harmful in the hands of the wrong people? In the hands of the wrong people. Now, in the interest of improving the quality of life for struggling people in America and bringing peace and harmony between all citizens, it's necessary to put our weapons down, whether it be the Bible or gun, and have meaningful engagement. That leads us to our topic tonight, which is more harmful, the Bible or the gun. Don't get it twisted now. I'm a man of God, and I am a prognosticator full of truth. So I don't want you to walk away from this discussion thinking by no means that I have a problem with the Word of God. No. Totally the opposite. But I'll tell you what I do have a problem with, though. You're listening to Talk Straight, September 9th, 2021. Our topic again is, which is more harmful, the Bible or gun? Listen to the text. There is a instructive message from the text found in Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12. Listen to what the word said. This is the word of God, see? Now, and this is what is going to enrich us. This is what's going to keep us. This is what's going to move us forward. Not necessarily someone attempt to use it as a weapon. Hebrews 4 and 12 says, "For the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even the dividing asunder of soul and spirit, and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart." My God. Listen. The word will separate those who are speaking to save souls from those who use the Bible as a weapon to bludgeon those who don't agree or follow their intent. The question becomes, which is worse, the Bible or the gun? Either one that is used with ill intent can harm and destroy people. Yes, we're going to talk a little bit about the Bible. We're going to talk about the purpose of a gun, you know, give you a little history, right? Yeah, we're going to do that. We're going to do that. But as I said earlier, when you think about what a weapon is and what the intended use of a weapon is, and that is to enable someone to have an up on another or others, cowards will run in and spray up a whole place, shoot a lot of people, many times innocent people, without giving them a chance at all, because they don't want to get caught themselves. They realize that it can happen to them, so they try to make it happen to others first. This weapon, this instrument that is used by many people, and I want to emphasize that it's all around the world we see this. We call them terrorists. We call them suicide bombers, things of that nature. Right here in urban America, when you look at the plight in black-on-black crime, we have far too many people turning on one another. Folk are using guns, and sometimes old folk are using the Bible to whoop you upside the head so you can agree with them and do what they tell you to do. Is that the purpose of the Word of God? Absolutely not. In fact, let's look at it. Let's look at the Bible, and let's look at some of the different types of Bibles, okay? Let's kind of define what the Bible is. But before I do that, I want to talk about the earliest form of a code of conduct that was intended to keep people in line and to maintain social order. Let's think about it from that perspective. Perhaps you've heard about it, the Code of Hammurabi, right? This was a Babylonian code, or legal text, as it's called by historians, written somewhere around circa 1755 to 1750 B.C. It's said to be the longest and best organized and preserved legal text from the ancient East. There are actual artifacts and historical evidence, anthropologists and what have you found these things, okay? And this has shaped in many ways a lot of the discipline, a lot of the teaching, and a lot of what many people believe the focus of the Holy Bible is. Even though it's not said to be a Bible per se, it is a text similarly has the same purpose of the Bible for the people of God, and that's to provide them a blueprint or guide for their worship and devotion to God. All right? Now, what's the Bible? Well, let's be honest with you. The word Bible, B-I-B-L-E, is an English word translated from the Greek, right? And when we say the Bible, we're talking about ta biblia, or the books. That's the Greek translation of Paul. The books. That's what they're talking about. And this is a collection of religious texts, writings, and scriptures that are said to be sacred. Now, interestingly enough, there are several different religious, organized religious groups or practices that pull away from the same books that are described by the Greek in terms of the Bible. In fact, Judaism is one of them. And in the Jewish teaching, the focus is on the Tanakh, what they call it, and certain scriptural readings primarily Old Testament-based. And then there are individuals who identify with what's called Samaritanism, right? That makes reference to people in the Bible in the New Testament, right? The principal canonical text for the Samaritan believers is the religious observance in what's known as the Samaritan Pentateuch. The Samaritan Pentateuch. So there are five books that they look at, that they shape their beliefs and their actions and their drive and their motivation for worship on. But they derive from what we typically call the Holy Bible, the text, the original text. Of course, in Christianity, the Holy Bible is what we were making reference to. And we know that there are many versions of the Holy Bible or the Christian Bible today. Millions of them are said to be in print since the beginning of the Holy Bible. And everybody, many people have formed their own version of it. Okay? In fact, I want to talk about one of them in particular. But Islam, can you believe that? Islamic teaching is canonized in the Quran. But look at what the Quran is. It's a central religious text that contains references to more than 50 people and events that you find in the Bible. Now, you see how they overlap? Even though they're different religious orders, they all derive from the same place. While the stories in the Quran are told in each book are generally comparable, there are also some noticeable differences. But one of the things you'll find if you read the Quran, there's an English version and there's an Arabic version, is that these are things, concepts, and ideas that are derived from the Holy Bible. Isn't that interesting? Huh. I'm going to get to the point here in just a minute. Farian or the Rastafari, they use what's called the Jah International Version. And guess what? All it is a revision used within the teachings of Rastafarianism. It's a revision of the King James Bible. Their focus is to make it germane to the practices of worship and beliefs that they have. Why is everybody trying to copy or emulate off the Bible? Well, because it's a very powerful book. And as I told you, the Word of God is quick. Yes, it is. Yes, it is. And it's powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. I told you that, didn't I? Think I was playing with you? I'm for real. Understand that in the Bible, in the books that were originally composed in Hebrew and Latin / Greek, these books form what most theologians would identify as an anthology or a group or a compilation of things, right, of text. They are represented in various forms. They're all linked by the belief that they collectively represent God's revelation to man. You see? And what you see is expression of things like historical accounts. We see that in the Old Testament quite often, right? Hymns, we see that in Proverbs or in Psalms. We see prayers that are expressed in biblical texts. The Proverbs, wise sayings, parables used largely by Jesus himself, and didactic letters written like that from Paul to Timothy, admonitions where people are admonized or prompted to behave in a certain way. Essays, poetry even prophecies. Listen, those of us who love the Lord and who find guidance and our faith is founded in his word, we see this as a book of divine inspiration. Nobody should be able to force you to accept that. Put a gun to your head. You've got to do that for yourself. And understand what I meant when I talked about the Bible and the gun being considered to be dangerous or harmful. It's in the wrong hands. People can take the word of God, misuse it, and cause many people to fall away and never to want to have anything to do with the truth. Nothing wrong with the Bible. Nothing wrong with God's word. It's individuals that misrepresent it. Just like you can put a loaded gun in the hands of a three-year-old baby, and that baby unconsciously pull the trigger and cause death and harm. You put that same Bible in the hands of a 30, 40, 50-year-old individual who has the mind of a baby, and they can mislead people and destroy their lives. Beloved, it has happened. It is happening now. What are you saying, doctor? What are you saying? I'm saying that these things have existed for some time. Now, watch this. Watch this. When you think about what a gun is, nothing new. We hear political fights over gun control and things of that nature. The very first device that was identified as what we now call a gun was something as simple as a bamboo tool. Listen, what they did was they used gunpowder. Who was they? The Chinese around 1000 A.D. In the 9th century, they had already perfected or invented what we call gunpowder. Then they learned how to take this gunpowder and to put it in this bamboo and bring force to fire spears. The Chinese came up with this around the 9th and, in A.D. So what are you saying, doctor? People have been using God's nature as a tool or weapon for some time. Now, historically, what has happened is that certain individuals like the European, as they come to China, they come to the East, they saw these things. They took it and they went to Africa as well and saw how that these people were blacksmiths, natural blacksmiths. They were masters of iron and pulling minerals and iron from the ground, from the soil, and shaping it and turning it into things. And they figured out how to shape it into what we now call this gun that looks very similar to a bamboo tool with the nozzle and so forth, the barrel. Are you with me? Took that information, and now we have instruments of deadly weapons, instruments that can kill a lot of people. So what are you saying? I'm simply saying to you, beloved, that in this conversation about the gun and the Bible being harmful, too many people have used the Bible as a means of mental, psychological control of others. How does that happen? Largely what happens is when a person don't know, they don't have a clue, and they look to you for answers because you have hold the title of pastor, preacher, or clergyman. Are you with me? They assume that what you say is inspired by God. Now, unfortunately, many of them hadn't read the Bible for themselves, don't know how to study it. So all they can do is rely on what you say. But over time, generations have learned to tune that out, sadly, because if they only found and understood the Word of God for themselves, just imagine how it could have enriched their lives. But now we got a whole generation of folk, young folk, who are saying, I don't need God and I don't need a lot of things that have brought us this far. You understand what I'm saying? So the Bible now has taken on even a political and an economic angle. Individuals use it to justify making money in the church arena. Y'all know what I'm talking about. You might as well go and take a gun and stick it in somebody's belly and say, give it up. That's essentially what's happened too many places. Not every place. But again, I'm a pastor now, and I'm not meaning to demean or to dismiss the Word of God or the house of God and worship, but what we need to understand is why it is so many people fall away, and the most powerful thing, tool, or resource that they can have. I'd like to reiterate it again, what Hebrews 4:12 says, that God's word is quick. Huh? It is powerful, sharper than a two-edged sword. has the ability to pierce the dividing asunder of the soul and the spirit. You understand? Cut deep in the joints and the marrow. And it can discern, listen, catch this, it can discern the thoughts and intents of the heart. So those people who choose to use it as a weapon to manipulate, to control, to shame folks, the Word of God will expose that when you start studying it. So what people have to do, even me as a pastor for the last 26 years, the people should be able to go behind me and find and come to the same reasonable conclusion of something that I put out there and I said the Word of God said. And if they can't, they should ask me, dude, what kind of game you on? what kind of game you running here, man? You understand? What's in your wallet? That was the commercial say. But I say that again to say that comparatively, what happens is people turn to others' understanding of the Bible. And that understanding is used too often by ill-fated individuals as a tool of control and manipulation. People never really find a relationship with God themselves, with Elohim themselves, because they're too messed up on what's in mind. When they catch them in a lie, then they think God is lying. Because for so long they assumed that this individual represents God and what they were saying was from God. See, some of them are able to pierce through that and come up with the right answer, but nonetheless, just like the gun can kill you, misrepresentation and misunderstanding can hurt you as well. He that read must get an understanding, right? Wisdom is the principal thing the text says. So in all our ways, get wisdom. When you get wisdom, make sure you understand. Are y'all with me? You see where I'm coming from now? And so, beloved, this is what we're talking about. I want to, before we go to the phone lines, you listen to Talk Straight, 657-383-0944. I got my friend here, the late Brother Mike here, who sang with the Mighty Clouds of Joy, and he said something that was powerful, My good friend Josh has joined us as well out of Murfreesboro, and I hope to hear from him tonight. And it looks like we got in queue that pretty lady out of Jacksonville, Florida. We call her 3072. She's joining us here, and we hope to be able to hear from her. But right quickly, let's hear what Mike says here with the Mighty Clouds of Joy. Order my steps, 657-383-0944. That's the number to call. Join us, Facebook, follow us. Join us here in Akalai.3072 out of Jacksonville, Florida, who's joining us tonight as well. Welcome, 3072.
Hey, peace. Hi, Josh.
All right.
How are you doing?
Great.
That's wonderful.
Mm-hmm. Okay, Josh, go ahead. I know you have some questions about this thought, this line of conversation. So let me open the floor to you. What say you?
Well, I think guns should have never been set to guns. At one point, guns were only for protection, and they were only there just to shoot animals. Before then, we were like, what does this go to that? They were like, they would use a gun to, like, hang up a tree to do another thing. So guns, at the first generation, were not used to kill another being. You see what I'm saying?
I follow your line of thought. I'm listening to you, and then I'll respond. Okay. Well, I'll 37 jump in here.
And then all of a sudden, there began a point in time, they began, oh, we can use it for this. Oh, we can use it for this. Oh, we can use it for this. And then that cycle kept happening. And they then knew, guns can be used for protection. Then they're like, guns can be used to kill other people. Guns can be carry on and on and on. Guns shouldn't have been used for anything at all.
I see. Well, may I pause you there? And I'd like to, from 3072, what you think about that. But I'm hearing you say that essentially, from its original design and intent, guns were exploited. And what we do know is historically, they've been used as instruments of war, death, and destruction. To this day, countries.
But they weren't.
I see what you're saying. And today, Josh, unfortunately,
One second.
Unfortunately, people who can't read and can't write can pull a gun and cause a lot of mayhem and destroy lives and things. You see what I mean? That's how easy it has become now. It's a whole other conversation. We kind of get to that. But I want to, I gather from that you would argue that guns are more harmful than the fire. Is that a fair statement?
Well, I wasn't even going to the Bible yet.
We got our caller from Brother Don out of Selma, I believe, but first 3072. Let's see what they say about the gun piece, and then we'll come back to the Bible and we can go around there like that. What do you say about it, 3072?
Well, I think like everything that's been invented and created, everything is exploited. Everything is tainted. Everything is turned, taken from its original and just shot all to pieces. So, yeah, I mean, I could see that with the Bible and guns. And I don't know which can be more harmful. I mean, something as beautiful as the Bible that was invented as a rubric, so to speak, or a guide for us to live,
has been,
you know, so that's a tough question, I think, for me.
Interesting. Okay. Well, let me bring Brother Don in. Don, we're talking from the topic here. Which is more harmful, the Bible or the gun? And Don, I just to give you a recap so you can understand where we are in our conversation, in the monologue, I talked about how a weapon, any weapon, no matter what it is an instrument that's used to injure, to defeat, or destroy an opponent. And we drew the correlation to around the world, Don, how people are not only using weapons like guns and knives, but they're using holy Bibles as a means to control and to manipulate and to force people into doing and thinking as they wish. What say you about that, Don? Welcome.
Yes, Doc, that's a very good topic. I was looking at this morning the Roman Catholic Church and when the Jesuits come in and their whole program was to infiltrate every country's educational system. So when you talk about the Bible being just like a gun, you know, that has been done. You know what I'm saying? How to control and manipulate people. So, you know what I'm saying? And it's still being done. I'm here in Selma, Alabama, and it's kind of shocking what I'm learning and how people are acting. And you know what I'm saying? And I'm going to say this. People in Selma are misguided. I'm going to say that. Oh, yeah. And it comes from the spiritual base, too.
Sure. All over, man. We see that. And that's the thing. That's one of the things I was talking about, Don, is how people look to those of us who have the title of pastor, or clergy, or preacher, and they assume that we are representing the unadulterated word of truth from the Holy Writ, from the scriptures, when sadly too many people have only used that as a way of making money, as a way of controlling people. Yes, sir.
Can I elaborate on that? Right after the Civil War, 1866, right here in Dallas County, African Americans helped form the Republican Party here in the South. But it's strange that Selma University, which is a missionary Baptist school, that it was started in 1878. So it lets you know that somebody was messing with our spiritual base. From 1866 to 1878, something ain't adding up right there.
Okay. Interesting. Okay. Well, go ahead, Josh. What
were
you
going to
say, Josh?
I was saying, now anything can be a weapon.
Yeah, sure.
Can be a weapon. Now, Bible, it can be a weapon. I can hit somebody until they break down. They weapon. So what I'm trying to say is anything is a weapon if you don't use it in the manner that it was made to use.
Okay, that's a good point, Josh. That is a great point. I agree with that. And that was my premise in the monologue, that in the wrong hands, even the Bible can be deadly. Even the Bible can be deadly. Do you know, guys, that there are husband and wives who live under the same roof with their children, but they go to different congregations. And they're individuals, family members, who don't talk to one another because of a difference in their denominational beliefs based on someone's interpretation of what the Bible says. You see what I'm saying? You've got to ask yourself the question, is this what the Creator wants? Is this what his word is to be used for, as a tool of division? Or is there some better, a greater purpose for it? You follow what I'm saying? And watch this, 3072. While the grown people are arguing about what the Bible says and or means, guess what the babies are doing? They're out there destroying themselves. on a primrose path to destruction, when we ought to be focused on relying on God's word to strengthen us, to guide us, to raise up our children in the fear and admonition of the Almighty, train them up in the way they should go. We're arguing about senseless, foolish things. You understand what I'm saying, Faith?
Yep.
What can we do about that? What can the, you don't have to be a preacher, what can an everyday person do about it?
Church, I think they should think more rationally, more sensibly, and stop putting themselves first. Again, that's where all the trouble stem from. Is egos and, you know, trying to make yourself look or feel some kind of way. And then, again, we have to think sensibly and rationally. The thing with the Bible and churches and people not speaking and all that. Yeah, again, those are individual thoughts, ideas, concepts, and decisions that, you know, each person makes.
Yeah.
So, you know, I would definitely not try to fault the scripture or the word or God even. I would fault man and the people. Same thing with the guns, okay? Just because you have a gun don't mean you have to go and shoot and kill people, you know, or rob somebody or what, you know. So again, that's an individual thing that we all have to work on.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Don, you want to comment on that?
Well, Mr. Doctor, excuse me for eating, but I just got off of work.
Give me some.
Mr. Doctor, I'm going to tell you something. Like I said, I'm down here in Selma, Alabama.
Mm-hmm.
And it's really strange to be in this neighborhood. And the neighborhood I was in today, Mr. Doctor, the young man done bought two houses, and I'm helping him work on the houses. But right up the street from the house, there was a African-American bank that came out of Selma University. What's so strange, though, is when you look, when Selma University was founded over against what our people helped form the Republican Party here in the South after the Civil War, it's just strange how theologically, it's like you said, somebody put a weapon in somebody's hand to actually mess up a people. That's what I see, Mr. Doctor. You hitting the head right here on the nail. You know, you can give a person a weapon. The Bible can be used as a weapon.
It has been.
And the way I look at it today, the Bible has been used to really destroy our community. That's the way I look at it today.
Well, Don, historically, and Guy, Josh in 3072, it has been used to justify the institution of slavery. It has been used to justify economic exploitation in various countries around the world. It has been used as a justification to go to war and decimate whole and push genocide. You understand what I'm saying? The Bible. The Bible has been used as a justification. Now, does that mean that there's something wrong with, again, the word of truth? No. But it's individuals that use it as their own personal weapon. And you can't tell them nothing. I mean, how you going to tell somebody that God didn't tell them, Josh, something? They tell you, God told me, Josh, the Lord told me, go in your pocket and take all your money. How you going to tell me the Lord didn't tell me that? How can you prove that, Josh?
He can't, but I think there's always different answers and solutions for every different cause. There's always another answer for that cause and for that cause. There isn't just one way you can do a thing and stuff like that.
Okay, I see what you're saying there. Would you agree with that, 3072, that there are different perspectives to address these things from?
Yeah.
Can you see that?
They're always.
Okay. But now, at the end of the day, I wouldn't recommend, I'm like you said, Mitchell, I wouldn't recommend anybody turn away from the Bible. But just for a second, I wonder what would happen if in urban America, Negro, black, and colored folk would sit it down just for a minute so they can have some adult conversations about how they're going to improve their children's education, how they're going to stop them from killing and destroying one another, how they're going to build families and communities, and how everybody can thrive and prosper. Would it be helpful if we just closed the Bible for a little bit, set it to the side? Don't get rid of it. Just set it to the side and talk like adults about what we can do to use some of what's in the Bible to transform our lives. Would that help at all, Don? Would that be any useful to us?
Mr. Dockery, I'm going to tell you, this is strange. Alabama is a strange state because the first capital was not Montgomery. It's Cahaba. And it's like going towards Oroville from Selma. And going down there, Mr. Dockery, where the first capital of Alabama was, and then jump towards Oroville and you run into African Americans in the country. And it's like you were saying, the Bible. How they used it in Chicago around all those Robert Taylor Home projects and people was up there stacked on top of each other. You come down here to Cahaba and you get to looking where it was and all this farmland down here. And it's like, what would have happened if we'd have took just 10 families from Robert Taylor and gave them each 100 acres down here around Cahaba? You know what I'm saying? You see what I'm saying? They did take the Bible and literally destroy us.
My glory. Okay. Don, I got my co-host on with me now, Pastor Waller. Pastor, let me read this to you and then get you to weigh in. A weapon is an instrument used to injure, defeat, or destroy a contender. Two major weapons used in societies all over the world are the Bible and the gun. That's our topic tonight, Pastor. Which is more harmful, the Bible or the gun? Welcome. That's why.
Hey, that's how you doing, man. I see you got Brother Don on the line.
Yeah. He's been busy, but he done joined us again.
All right.
And you got 3072 as well. 3072 and you also have 3072 and
All right.
Hey, how's it going now?
Yeah. I'm all right. How about yourself?
Oh, we good.
That's very good to hear that.
Don't forget Josh.
I ain't heard from Josh in a long time, man. It's always good to hear from Josh. How's it going, Josh? I'm still alive. I'm sick again.
Man. Well, all right. I heard you all going on. You want to say that for me again, the topic that you have?
Yes, sir. We got another caller joining us, and our topic tonight is which is more harmful, the use of the Bible or a gun? Now, we've been talking about a lot of issues, right? And we've been talking about solutions, resolutions, problems. And one of the main factors that we see for many people, I won't say everybody, is that the difference in their belief and they see things from a theological standpoint by codified text that we call the Bible or religious book get them at odds with one another. Now, and I'm gonna go back and as I listen to you after we hear from you, Pastor, I'm gonna go back to the monologue and kind of show you how several different books of writings have been derived from what we call the Holy Bible for different interpretations for different religious beliefs or practices. But go ahead, Pastor. What say you to that?
There's one thing I can't talk about. I cannot talk about other things that I don't know anything about. So I can't say which one will be beneficial to others. But
okay.
I think earlier... Should you just take the Bible out for a while and just, in other words, exclude it for a moment of time.
Mm-hmm.
I would say I'm unable to do moving it out for a moment because it don't take for a moment for me to go back into the trap.
I
have to always acknowledge him because he says in all of your ways, acknowledge him, and he shall direct our paths. And mm-hmm. I say that, you know, with a genuine heart because I do walk in fear, not of man mm-hmm. or the gun. It's not that I walk in fear of the gun. I mean, because there's something about the assignment that I've taken on. It's a lot of the guns being utilized in the streets.
Mm-hmm.
In gunfire, I'm talking about a rage, man.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm more afraid, you know, to exclude the Bible than to worry about what they're going to do with the guns. Even though there's a lot of shooting going on, and I'm saying that with a real, real genuine concern, and it's increasing. But I think that the people that are in the buildings in those churches,
mm-hmm.
I think they'd rather have a gun than the Bible, according to the action. According to the action, man. I'm not talking about it.
Say what?
I know. I'm just going on action. I'm not going on anything but action. Because it seems like the fear of a gun would cause people who the word say to go out into the world, give an instruction. Go out into the world and preach the gospel. That's an instruction that is given people that say that they love the Lord and they got the Bible in their hand and they're in a lot of those churches. I'm not saying people
mm-hmm.
are not going out. I'm definitely not saying that. But I am saying this. Power of the fear of the people that are in that building, they'd rather have a gun and don't even go out into the world and preach the gospel than to do right verses. Because you'll be filled with the power of God if every church go out into the world. Now, I'm just saying this. If they go out into the world, wherever they're located, and show the concern, to show the love, that's stronger than a gun.
I see.
But if you don't do it, you'll never know. You see, that's the thing that I'm saying. If you don't do it, how can I know unless I try it? You'll never know unless you try it. And the guys, the kids, they're trying the gun, man. They're shooting the gun. And I mean, they're shooting the religion. They don't care about no 3072. Listen, this right. They don't care about no camera on the street.
Yeah.
Get in front of the camera and shoot.
Yeah.
Okay. I'm saying that to say, but I believe if the people went out and just show a concern, I believe that moment of time, they would respect that moment of time and may be able to change their mind on what they was getting ready to do. But since no one is out there, you know, they have to go for what they know.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay.
I was just going to say that Pastor Weller, that is absolutely right. Not just preach the gospel, but live the gospel.
Mm.
Remember back in the day how churches were more, I guess, successful with gaining souls, as they would say, because people, it seemed like of yesterday, more so at least tried to live more upright and more wholesome and more clean than today, where any and everything goes. So it's not just because that's the problem now. People are just spewing out things.
Yeah.
Oh, the Bible, this and that. But then again, when I see you around the corner, you know what I'm saying? You blending in with the rest of the crowd. Like, so how are you going to tell me something?
Right,
when
right.
you shaking it harder than I am in the clubs, or you, and not to judge anyone, but I used to know somebody say, "Don't just eat part of the roll, eat the whole roll if you're gonna eat it." Now, if you're not gonna eat, then you leave that alone. But I think and that's not to say that nobody should be trying to outdo anybody's holiness, because again, that's an individual thing. But at least we can be living, living right.
Okay.
Before you're trying to throw a Bible at somebody, or trying to tell anybody anything—not just the Bible, but we're talking about the Bible. But you should be that example.
You got to say, are you really holy? Are you really actually trusting the Bible?
Josh, your point. That is the real issue. And if you ask me, that's the breakdown socially, economically, and even politically, particularly in urban America, that you get people who are not seriously about their worship and devotion to deity, to the Creator. They're more interested in using it as a manipulative tool to justify their position socially, politically, economically. You understand what I'm saying?
Are you really actually truly in the Word?
No.
Are you just fake?
That's my point, Josh. And I was just going to welcome St. Louis. I'm coming right to you, sir. I was going to just make the point that there are, I pointed out in the monologue, five different types of holy writ or sorts of Bibles. In the Jewish practice, it's called the Tanakh, right? But these come from the Old Testament. Somebody's ready up too loud. Josh, you may be near your computer and your phone? Because if you are, you kind of back away. We're getting that feedback.
Is that mine now?
Okay. Yeah, are you on the computer and the phone?
No.
Okay. No problem. We keep going, Josh. So I was talking about the Tanakh with the Jewish practice. And then with what's called Samaritanism, they use the Samaritan Pentateuch, which, again, is five books from the Old Testament that they focus on. In Christianity, you have 66 books, Old and New Testament, right? Then the Quran, interestingly enough, Don, when you look at the Quran, what you find is in their text over 50 different people or events that it makes reference to from the Holy Bible, right? The story is a little different, but that's how it's set up. But watch this. The Rastafarians, they identify with the Jah International Version, which is nothing but a revision of the King James Version. What do all these things do? They justify the setup and the organization of these various religious practices or positions. Now, some people would die to protect them. You understand what I'm saying? And they would kill somebody else to protect them. And I'm going to go back to what I'm saying in terms of the nature of the problem here, and that is when I talk about the harmfulness of the Bible and the gun. In many ways, Pastor Walla, I'm concerned that some people can live a lot better and be more prosperous if they were not beguiled by somebody's deceitful intent with the Bible. It's almost better if you leave them alone. They'll kind of figure out how to live their life and do things in a productive way if they're not following someone else's edicts and dictates based on their interpretation of the word. And that's a big thing. When you take somebody who don't know any better and you manipulate them, you deceive them, and you control them. Don pointed out quite well how historically this was a practice not only done in the Catholic Church, but many spinouts from those denominations or Catholic teachings and what have you. Unfortunately, that's where we are. And now, what I meant, let me qualify something, then somebody was trying to say something. What I meant, Pastor Waller, by sitting the Bible down is not dismissing it, not counting it out. You should apply it in your heart, but unfortunately, as you can see, it is the one thing that keeps people from coming at their corners with their fist up fighting to protect an ideology, a theological ideology, and nobody's really reaching the truth. Because the truth should be able to take those 10 to 20 churches in a in a 5-block radius and clean up the hood and educate the babies. That's what the troops should do. Maybe I'm wrong about that. Who was that? Were you about to say something, Pastor Walker? Were you about to say something,
Pastor? Yeah, that is the truth, man. I mean, they just step out of them buildings, brother, because there's a lot of those buildings, a lot of those buildings around there. And if I can just, you know, elaborate on the importance of learning, because going to church does not mean you're learning of him.
I say that
with big time love. You know, if I'm going to learn of him because he has some equipment to prepare people, you know, to go out into the world. But if you're not equipped, you don't need to go out into the world and tamper with what's going on, you know, because it's real out in the real world. They are serious about what they're doing. But they are very serious about what they're doing. And they're not afraid of people who just talk the talk, you know. And that's the thing about it. If there's no action and people are inside the buildings, but they will not come out, they would never know what difference it would make in a moment of time for somebody that's out there just crying out. The people out in the streets, man, they're crying out, man. One more thing, and I'll turn it back over to you. You know, the word does say, we then who are strong ought to bear the infirmity of the weak and not to please ourselves. So if people are pleasing themselves in the building, then they're not concerned about the weak, you see. And that's a tough position to be in when you are in that building and you're having so much fun and you're just magnifying the Lord up in there. But he said this, and he said, take my yoke upon you and learn of me.
And learn of me.
If I learn, that means I have something that he offered me. But if I don't learn anything, there's no need of me going out into the streets. And so that's what I do, Pastor Dockery. You know better than many, because you've been out there along the side of when I'm out there, what I can do out there. And it is increasing, brother. It is not getting any better, because they're not, I guess, you know, aware or even concerned. I don't know what word to put. Or let's just say they haven't learned that he gave an instruction when he said, go out into the world and compel men to come. That's an interesting order right there, man. But just think it was done. It would be something. That's all I can say. You know, compel men to come. They may not come that first day or that first week, but at least you offer. You know?
I think I know what the problem is, Pastor. I think I know what the problem is.
Yes, sir.
I mentioned this to you before. You are before one Sunday, we were feeding homeless men at the. It's no Sunday now, and they have their own service at the mission. But these men were not in there. They didn't want to be in there. They didn't want to hear what they were talking about. But they came to us, and the guy said, hey, ain't you a pastor? I said, yeah. He said, why you ain't in church then? I said, we have a church right now, man. what you think we're doing right now? But you ain't. Look, brother, that's part of the problem. I didn't come here to beat you up with a cross or the Bible. But I did come to have a conversation with you about some things. You understand what I'm saying? Now, I don't want to give the impression that solved the problem overnight, because I'm not really sure where most of those brothers are now. But the point is, to your point, if more individuals that broke out of their little individual practice that they were comfortable and used to, and really met people where they were, and that's what I mean. Because when people open it up, they open their mouth, they mess things up worse than what they were. It would have been almost better than their mouth, man. You understand what I'm saying?
That's not good either.
No, it ain't no good.
Yes, sir.
That's no good. Let me bring St. Louis in, if he would like. We're talking from the topic, which is more harmful, the Bible or the gun? Welcome. Talk straight to me.
Well, I sleep and take a bath with my hog leg.
Oh, my goodness. Wait, what?
I'm sleeping and taking a bath with my hog leg.
Okay.
And you're talking about the Bible. What about the Quran? Farrakhan say there is no other God but Allah.
Yeah.
And Muhammad was his slave and messenger.
That's the argument, isn't it? And that's where the fight is, right, St. Louis?
And they killed Christians. They cutting their heads off there in Afghanistan right now.
Okay. All right.
So they need to have a gun.
Well, some in the name of what? Religion, right? And what's driving their religion? Their codified text that they identify with as the whole. And that's my whole point. And I try to make the point that many of them, the Quran, over 50 different examples of people and events are cited Quran if you read it. That's what you'll find. And they make reference to incidents that happened in the Holy Bible, that you also see in the Holy Bible, just like some of the other ones I was telling you about. So you have to ask yourself, if all of y'all are pulling from the same source and information, what's the fight over? Go ahead.
I don't know what makes the Bible so holy. The people that wrote the New Testament call that which was first old. The people that wrote the first old, that's now called old, they didn't call it that.
Okay. That's a good point. So you understand that now there are multiple versions of what's called the Holy Bible. Very confusing. Very confusing to
them. Yeah, and when you go there in Gondar, in Ethiopia today, with the Better Israels,
mm-hmm.
and some of them go to church, they have to climb a rope up the side of a mountain, a vertical steep.
Mm-hmm.
And they only go by what you call the first five books.
Okay.
That's all they use.
Well,
but one thing is we go by all of the books, and one thing is we all of the different texts we use is still the same. It's just how you use it. That's the thing. How you use it.
That's good news there.
That's the same thing with a gun. You can use a gun to hunt, and you can use it to defend, shoot other people that's trying to kill you.
What's a murder?
Yeah, but it's not used to kill other people. That's the thing.
With the Bible? The Bible is used to kill people. It said, "Beat your plowshares in the sword." Your plows in the swords, didn't it?
I don't remember that in the Bible.
Yeah, you're supposed to beat your plows into swords and get ready.
Okay.
Christian soldiers, you know the song, "On you Christian soldiers."
There's a difference in what the lyrics of songs say and what the Bible says. Let's not confuse those two there. But I think I take your point of what you're saying, that all, and this is the greater point here, guys, and that is that this is the reason you'll find for the dissension, for the division, and for the cause of not being able to come together and address real issues. Now, we can say this about everybody, but specifically we're talking about solutions for what's happening in many of these urban areas that we've been discussing. The truth of the matter is, if everybody was on one accord, now we were doing some math the other night, and we came up with quite a bit of money, over $300 million in terms of funding for one particular school district, right? But guess what? Everybody's fighting over this, fighting over that, and they can't even come together in the name of God. But the babies are the ones that are losing. That's what, you know, when are we going to talk about it, Don? Don, when are we going to be serious enough to say, you know what, okay, you may be Methodist, you may be Islam, you may be whatever, but guess what, we all share in common. We want the best for our children. When can we have that conversation, Don? Or can we?
Mr. Doctor, I'm watching them right now here in Alabama play games with my son and the mama. The whole state's messed up. You know, you got a governor down here. Think about it. She don't want a husband.
Oh.
The whole governor of Alabama, Ted Abbott, don't want a husband.
Uh-oh.
Think about it.
Well.
So what do you think the educational system is in Alabama?
I think that the parents there in Alabama could have a lot. They have a right, Don, and an opportunity to control at least their children's system if they don't control the education system of Alabama, the government. Do you follow what I'm saying, big brother? That's some.
I hear you, Mr. Doctor, but guess what?
Yeah.
They ain't even teaching the young boys how to build in the high schools.
Yes, sir. We've talked about it. But they know how to kill and destroy something.
That's it. And got a governor, head of the state, who's Republican, who don't want a husband. Think about it.
Okay. But that's personal for her, though, isn't it, Don? Because her life shouldn't be reflective of what we do. You know what I mean? And my whole point here.
But guess
again,
what? If you got leadership like that, what kind of educational system do you think you have here?
Okay. I take your point. That leadership reflects attitude. That's what I'm hearing you say, Don. Is that right? The attitude of people.
That's it, Mr. Doctor. Check it out.
Yeah.
It's sad to say that, but that's what's going on in the state of Alabama.
I get what you're saying.
When I was in the first grade, Mr. Doctor, we integrated schools right there in Dickson County. And when I got to high school from 10 to 12, they would take us out 2 hours to build on the house. I ain't seen that in Dallas County since I've been down here the whole 12 years.
Yeah, they cut it out, Don. They cut it out of the curriculum. Well,
isn't that the people's responsibility? Who is the day? Somebody give me a description of the day, height, weight, and sex, the email address, the address, the post office box. Where is this day at?
Don, when you say day, who do you mean? Who are you speaking of? Are you speaking of an individual?
I'm talking about, and he said something about Minister Farrakhan. Let me tell you something. I already know Jesse Jackson is in the pocket of the Jesuits. You better know who you're talking to. So guess what,
Quincy
Mr. Doctor? It done got so funky.
Listen,
Mr. Doctor. It done got so funky that my baby brother might not even be my baby brother. And he was up there with Obama. And he went to a Jesuit school. So something ain't adding up.
Quincy Troop was, too. He married three white females. One was Swedish. I think the other two was Jewish.
Who
and they're strong.
Oh, my goodness. Now,
Quincy
Troop.
Thank you. What is the truth? What is it?
Well,
it looked like
Tupac Shakur. Tupac Shakur dated his first daughter, one of his daughters.
So let me say this.
Tupac complained about him with them white women about a couple weeks before he died.
All right, but listen. We don't want to get cut off on what certain individuals have done. I don't think we're going to get anywhere with that, right? But I hope that our focus would be on what we can use these two instruments right here, the Bible and or gun. Now, what I heard Josh say is, you know, we can use less guns. Okay? I take that, Josh. I take that. But I'm concerned about how people are manipulatively using even the Bible. I'm not just talking about the English Bible, Holy Bible. I'm talking about other writs as well, such as the Quran and some of the other things we talked about earlier. At the end of the day, what we don't have enough discussion about, enough study on, enough action on, is how to resolve our own problems. And I am saying that there's nothing wrong, in my view, with the Word of God. as I read in Hebrews 4:12. The text said it correctly. I mean, I think it's clear that the word of God is quick. It's powerful. It's sharper than a two-edged sword. It's able to cut everything. Nothing but meatball. So how it's, but it's people, is how individuals use that. It's how individuals use it. We know that the slaves used to control, slave masters used to control slaves by, you quoting the scripture, slaves obey your master. That's in the Bible. That's in the Bible.
Yeah, but some slaves was Muslims. They didn't understand that. And Zuma, who was the president of South Africa, one of his Zulu songs translated, "Bring me my machine gun. Don't hold me back."
So you see how different motives, though, St. Louis, influence the use of religious expression and text and what have you, teachings and...
Well, that's society's culture. That's what they, that's for them.
Right.
It wasn't for everybody else.
Well, that was a point that I made.
The barbers use that for the day. Think about it. The holidays we got, think about it. It's for somebody's economic benefit.
Well,
the day we worship, it's for somebody's economic benefit.
Okay. What'd you say, Pastor? Somebody making money, man. Hey, man, they making money. They making money. Well, what are you gonna do about it? What can the average person do about that, Pastor Waller? Is it anything, or do you just have to just go along with it, Pastor Waller? Just throw your hands up. Say, I'm gonna do whatever it is.
You go on Hebrews chapter 4:12. You said it.
What is
that? It was part. And you talked about how strong and powerful the word is.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so if the word is that powerful, you know, I think that you should use it.
Okay.
If it's that powerful.
Okay.
You know, and if it's not, I understand, but if it's that powerful, why not use it? I mean, that's just what I would say. If the word is that powerful, I think that's what you said earlier. Is that what you said about
the word?
That's what the
text. Quick and that's what the text says.
Okay.
That's what Hebrews 4:12.
So if the word says that, and you use that because it's quick and powerful, let me just say this right here. I was caught up into the world, man. I got hooked up with that word that you're talking about, man. It changed my life. So I can't say nothing against it, man. I mean, and not only did it change my life, it changed multitudes of lives through changing my life. So I can't say anything against it. But I don't know nothing about a whole lot of other things. So we're talking about solutions now. We're not talking about having fun about what happened to somebody, what they did. You know, like you really enjoying, you know, the belittling other ethnic groups of people. That's not what's happening right here. We're talking about what's making a difference. Everybody that's on the line right now, what are you doing to make a difference? Not what they're doing. What are you doing to make a difference? So I'm just raising my hand like I'm a student in class, and I wanted it to be known. I learned something when I went to the Lord, when I utilized his word. And Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12 is one of them. You know what I mean? I used that word right there because I needed something to come quick and powerful, something that was going to be sharp than what I was doing. And it worked. So why would I go against it now? Because what somebody else may say. So you got to watch out who you listen to, what you listen to, how you hear. The words, they be mindful of how you hear. You see, I'm really serious. It says that. So I can hear somebody else say something that kind of make me drift away from something that I know works. I'm like, wait a minute, hold it. They just saying something that's going to go against something that actually works. You know, man. You're talking about the cleverness of the enemy? He can work, man. That's why he said he's ready to turn it back over to you. Paul said it like this. He said, unless Satan gets the advantage over us, for we are not ignorant of his devices. See, Satan has devices, man. He'll use a person, a place, or even a thing to skip someone away from what Josh said. Josh said it's according on how you use it. You know what I mean? You know, no matter what the word is, according on how you use it. That made a lot of sense.
Wait a minute. Hey, Ruben, is that somebody snoring on your show?
It could
How
be.
How dare you? All right.
Huh? All right, let him finish. Let him finish. Go ahead,
Pat.
Yeah, I'm done. I couldn't
even hear what Wallace was saying.
All right, okay, that's over with now. We're moving on. But one thing that the text emphasizes at the end of it, Pastor Wallace, says that it's a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart.
Yeah.
That's the part I like
right.
about it right there. See, you can just about tell where somebody is coming from through the word. Huh?
Well,
try the spirit back and see where it's coming from. What you
here's the thing, Mr. Dockery.
Uh-huh.
See, it's discerning to try to say, and when you're talking about blacks, we and us. But it's not. It's just for those that want to do that. And
well,
it's deceitful. Well, wait a minute, because you hear this all the time. All blacks don't have nothing to do with a Bible.
That's
you got
true.
Those that say it's the white man's book, which they did bring it in if you want to go to Africa or even here. It came from him. See, you can't ridicule and scorn a person, the white man. Then on the next page, you be following his book. Now, at some point in time, we're going to have to stand up and walk straight. And before you start walking, you got to take all that stuff off and leave it in a pile. Because it's very hypocritical and contradictory. It's just like blacks complain about racism. All right. Well, in the 88th percentile, they voted for Joe Biden, who has a long history of that.
So, I'll let you finish, and then I'll respond to you.
Yeah, I didn't know I had a crowd that was blowing their horn in favor of what I said.
Yeah. So, here's something to consider. Here's something to consider. You're right that not all black. Hold on. One second, Josh. I'm coming to you. Not all what we call, what often is referred to as black people, see things the same way or believe the same. Okay? Not all of them do that. But the truth of the matter is there are some of us, I'm learning, who believe in the word and let the word be the basis of my faith. And there are some of us on the line who believe the same thing. Now, I don't know about anybody else. I ain't trying to make nobody else believe as I do. But when I speak, I speak on my faith. And so but what I'm pointing out here now is how the division in thought based on one source. And I tried to intimate again through the monologue how what we call the Holy Bible, the Quran, the text for the Rastafarians, even the what's called the Jewish tumult or Tanakh, they derive from those texts. They share the same ideas. So what's the fight over? Why is it necessary for people not to be able to have a sensible conversation outside of your corner of theological thought? That's the point we're trying to make here. Josh, you were trying to say something. Right? Go ahead.
No, I wasn't.
You wasn't? Okay.
All right.
So let me ask this question. Is 37-2, you with me?
Yeah.
Okay. Let me ask this question. Let me pose this question to you all. If you did not grow up learning anything about religion or religious teaching, what do you think, just for a second, imagine what your life would be like? Just for a second, imagine what your life would be like. You didn't know anything about any particular religion or theological thought. Certainly you weren't conscious of that. Do you think it would be likely, Don, I'm going to start with you, that people will be fighting over doctrine? and theological ideas done. You there, Don?
Mr. Darker, when you how I look at the word today compared to when I first learned the word, like when my mama would tie my little quarters up and send me to Sunday school, the way I look at the word today, I'm going to tell you how I look at God's word today. I'm eating some good, healthy food right now,
okay.
And I learned it from the word of God. So
okay.
Guess what? The way I look at the word of God, it takes care of my health.
That's
the way I look at it.
So, but I'm asking you, though, Don, and we're moving that around. If you were not shaped by one particular thought, a theological position, do you think that would be you would have the position you have now, or would it be different? You understand my question, Don?
I hear you, Mr. Dockery, and I'm gonna say it again to you again. The word the Lord brought me from the point when I got out of the Navy. To the
mm-hmm.
point now, I'm going to say it again.
Okay.
The word of God got me looking after my health, and that's what I'm focusing on right now.
I see. Okay. I see. Okay. What about you, Josh? Do you think you would believe the way you've been had you not been shaped by someone else's thoughts, teachings, and influence that you have now?
Give me a parent, like give me something to shape it on before I start.
Okay. All right, let's go this way. If you were born and reared in, let's say, Yemen is in the Middle East, as they call it, okay?
Okay.
And the primary language spoken there is the language of Arabic. I'm not mistaken.
Okay.
And the primary religion
is
Islam. It's Islam. Listen to them. I'm going to fix it up for you. Now, of course,
okay.
You were raised in the United States of America, and you were shaped by the influence and experiences of your parents. But had you not been that way, what's the chances that you may have seen things differently as you were in Yemen, if you were born in Yemen under those circumstances? Go ahead. Go.
Oh my goodness. now I know. Okay. I would have been shaped totally different. I would have believed or thought, what is this? Why is this? All these questions would be shaping my mind. Even if I didn't actually believe in Islam or
mm-hmm.
another and stuff like that, it would be a totally different thing for me. It would be like, okay, is this the right one? What, like at 2 years old, I would be like, okay, who created me? I would be thinking like that, like, who created me? Like, you get what I'm saying?
I think I follow what you're
saying. I know mom did something, but who created me? How did I get formed? You know what I'm saying?
Okay.
And then as I got older, I'll be like, okay, I know that, but is this the, who am I supposed to worship? Am I supposed to worship anybody?
Okay.
I would have all those thoughts until the day I die, probably. Processing that and stuff like that, it would be
mm-hmm.
so much harder to process that because I was born in another country.
Yes. I'm glad you said that, Josh. But hold that point right there because that's pivotal to the purpose of me posing the question. What you're saying is absolutely right. But guess what, Josh? There are some young people today who haven't even been shaped by a theological thought. And much of what they know is what they get from social media and the street. That's what drives mm-hmm. them. So one might mm-hmm. argue that's what their theology is. It's streethood. Mm-hmm. Street. You understand what I'm saying? And we know mm-hmm. how destructive and counterproductive that has proven itself to be. And nothing mm-hmm. out of the street but truck. But that's all they know. That's all they know.
Mm-hmm.
Now, one might argue, Pastor Wallace, that if somebody had taught them about the word, had modeled the word for them and walked a life before them, that they may have been persuaded different. The point I'm trying to make here is that in the fight over which Bible is right or which theological position based on the Bible is right, we lose out on key and important times to really bond with young people and model for them how identify and follow a faith traditional practice. There's absolutely nothing wrong with that because it's the basis of what we go through. 3072, what about you?
Mm-hmm.
If you hadn't been shaped the way you've been shaped and you were in another, similarly, as I was explaining to Josh, in another circumstance, do you think you would have the position you get today?
I'd have to say yes. I mean, I believe I would.
Okay. So you
because
think you would still...
the word is just there, or the Bible is there, again, as a guide to live a life and a life more abundant. But even with that, it's just about teachings of doing the right things, you know, treating people fair, loving your brother, you know, helping, worshiping God, the happiness, you know, those kind of things. So I think without it, yeah, I mean, I still would.
Okay. Well, fair enough. I'll say this, and then I want to give Pastor Wallace a chance to lean. One of the things, even as a pastor, I emphasize to my own children, and you know they say preachers' children are the worst, PKs.
Mm-hmm.
I emphasize to them that I want you to appreciate my example, and I certain things I expect from you, but ultimately you've got to define your faith and develop your relationship with your creator, with your maker.
Mm-hmm.
My hope is that I can lead you to the right tools and information to come derive it. So in short, I told him, search for the truth, because you can get lost in denominationalism. You can get lost in religiosity, sectarianism. Mm-hmm. You can get lost in all that. But when you're searching for the mm-hmm. truth, it'll make you free. It won't change mm-hmm. under no circumstance for you. It'll always be there to sustain you when you know the truth. See what I mean? And so, Josh, to that point, it doesn't matter where you're taken and where you're placed. If you have the basis of a quest for truth and understanding and knowledge, you can make it all over the world, anywhere.
I think I would still make it. I'm just saying it would be harder.
I see what you're saying.
Yeah, well, you have to in the others. Country and all of that, it would be harder for me to get the scriptures and to read and to do all of that, and I would think different, but since I'm already in the proper line, I already know what to do. It's just sometimes it's just hard to do the right thing because you always see something or somebody that you want to do or think about, and that's not the thing. There's the line of destruction and the line of beauty.
I'm going to heaven. I follow you, man. I take your point. Well, Pastor Waller, what about that now? Because
what about me?
You know that. Okay, I'm coming to the St. Louis. Pastor Waller, you know that there are individuals who really don't have a context or basis for citing scripture or even saying that it's a guiding force for them, right? And really, they're just trying to figure out life, man, how to survive day by day. So what about it, Pat? I'm coming to you, St. Louis.
Hey, actually, that was me. You know, that was me.
Uh-oh.
So wherever I would have been at, and, you know, in the life that I had, was living once upon a time before I got to the flip side,
mm-hmm.
wherever I would have been at, and whoever would have helped me get free, that's who I would have paid credit to. It don't matter who it was. You can name all them other different denominations. If they could have gotten me free from what I was in, I would have gave the credit to that particular arena. That's just the way it is. I wouldn't have been able to try to give it to someone else because all of a sudden they tell me, oh, this is the right one to worship. Look here, too late in the game for that. I've already got free, and I got with the truth. And so, you know, the word says you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. That's what I went on. I got with the truth, and that was the truth that I got. I ain't going to tell you what truth you need to get. I'm not going to do that. I'm not going to spend no time doing that because it would be disrespectful to what I've learned. It would be discrediting the one that I learned it from. So I have to stand firm on where I got it from and keep it real simple and don't go back in and say, well, let me go back and get back on drugs. Let me go back and be caught up again. Then let me go over and try what they're talking about. That would be insane, man.
Interesting.
So I just like to keep it simple and be grateful to know that I'm free now and I don't have to go back 30-72 and get back into the swing of things and try it all over again just to fail. You know,
right.
I've already got with the truth. Why am I going to complicate it now? And that's the thing about it, man. It's the Lord can choose you this day. Who you will serve.
Okay.
Keep it real simple right now.
Well, you know, I find it very interesting. I'm sorry.
Go ahead right quickly. And then we'll
just
Josh,
a beautiful
Josh,
thing.
Josh, hold on 1 second. Don't lose your thoughts.
No, let Josh go ahead.
No,
go
no,
ahead,
actually,
Josh.
St. Louis, St. Louis was in queue next.
Let
me hold your thoughts, 72, and Josh, I'll come back to you. Let's hear from St. Louis. St. Louis, you were going to weigh in on that thought there about being in a different situation or influence growing up.
Well, how long have human beings been on the planet Earth?
They say for a long time, man. That's all I can say. A long time, what they say. Long before I've been here, let me say it.
They've been humans, what we call humans, or something like them. It's been around at least shy of 2 million years. And how long have human beings had a Bible?
Well, it's a little while.
Probably 1,000 years.
Yeah.
So how did all them human beings get along and do what they did for all them hundreds of thousands of years without a Bible?
Well, so go ahead. I'll let you finish. And that, I think that's to answer your question. What we call the Bible now derived from texts that existed much further than 2,000 years, thousands of years ago. But that just wanted to make that point. But I'm following your line of logic here.
Well, even before there was writing, human beings exist on the planet in their societies long before they had any Bible.
Would you agree that they had a culture, and part of their culture was communication, be it some form of inscribing or writing and things like that? We go back to the culture.
Well, yeah, they had a culture. They had a culture, and
Okay.
That's why you had that's why man created gods. every ethnic group society had their own.
Okay.
And they was beat and coerced into thinking that there's only one.
All right.
And so that was by physical force. And people have to look at things based on logic and really historical content.
Mm-hmm.
It's just like they talk about climate change. Nobody can say what the climate is doing because you wasn't recording early on when man existed. The planet Earth is over 4 billion years of age.
Okay.
So would the person, my children never had no Bibles, never went to church, neither did I.
Fair enough.
So human beings are born just like cats. Cats are born pre-programmed to respond and act under different circumstances. And every animal is, really. That's programmed into them through their DNA. So human beings was born to decipher what they considered as being good, okay, and also what they would be considered as bad.
All right. So right quickly, though, St. Louis, relative to the question, if you were, for instance, grew up in Yemen, do you think you would be an avid a Muslim or a follower?
Well, in their culture, yes. If I was born to a father who was a Muslim, I would have been a Muslim.
There you go.
That's the way it's in their culture. In the Native American, amongst the Creek, it's a different culture, a different rule.
That's it. That's the point right there. That is the point. And I appreciate you, sharing.
See, for them to come up with these commandments, it had to be played out in real life. How are you going to come up with a commandment saying thou shalt not steal if you have not experienced somebody stealing something from you?
Good point. I mean, that makes sense to me. I think that's a logical conclusion.
And then in the Bible, it's never said in the negative. It says, thou shalt not. Now, you can go to other texts where it says, during the point of judgment, I have not. There's a difference. At the point of judgment, when you are there to answer for what is considered wrong, the quote-unquote sins, when you say, I have not, that's a lot different than saying, thou shall not.
Interesting.
Because if people use thou shall not, they can go out and do it, ask for forgiveness, and go out and do it again. And they could have done it 15 times and still lie on that one last thou shall not. But those who say, I have not, cannot do that. They say, I have never done that before. I don't know what you're talking about.
All right. Thanks. I take your point. Let me go to 3072. What were you going to? And then we'll come right to you. I'm coming right to you, Josh.
I was just finding it interesting. We were just talking about how, things have been distorted and twisted to suit people's own. I mean, you got some people using God to, like, abuse and make other people feel less, their lives are perfect and how they're blessed and highly favored and, all the talk that people usually say to overextend whatever image they want somebody else to have of them, and again, it's not in reference or to give God glory, but it's to glorify themselves. I just find that quite interesting. Just the same as with the gun, brandishing it. Okay, why do you need to do that? Why?
Right.
Just to show, this is powerful and I'm powerful, and it's
great connection.
Quite interesting.
Yeah.
Quite interesting.
Absolutely. And people use both of those things.
I think it was well played.
Yeah. Well, let me bring Josh in. Josh, what are we going to say, brother man?
Now, there's a lot about It says, thou shall not. Thou shall not means you will never do it again. Thou shall not means that's your last time doing something.
Okay.
Thou shall not.
Okay.
Means you're going to never do that sin that you just did ever again. Because it says thou shall not do that sin. So, that means you're going to try your very hardest not to do that sin again. That means also any sin that you do or not do is like almost like it's written in the book of the Lamb. It's like, okay, that one is written, okay, he did that one. But it also says, this is a paraphrase, but it also says something like, it says, forgive your neighbors like yourself.
Okay.
So, like, you're supposed to forgive all the time.
Interesting. May I cut in here, Josh? So one of the things that I think is helpful to consider is that when you're reciting the English words that you read from the English text, there's a process known as transliteration and translation, where certain words and then the lettering that had meaning and significance. And so unless you're able to linguistically go back and to really consider the context in which things were spoken at the time from that particular culture and that language, and you can't exactly read it the same way, literally, in the English text without understanding. That's why it's important as a student of the Bible to have a healthy knowledge of both Hebrew and Greek and studying those things, so that you can better understand text that you see in English, specifically in the Bible.
Mm-hmm.
But
mm-hmm.
we didn't want to go too far off of that, but I just wanted to make that point before we move too far, because it was brought up and it was talked about. Yes, sometimes people read the text literally in 2021, and what they'll find is that there may be a different meaning in a different zeitgeist of an age, or in terms of the interpretation of the translation or transliteration of thought and idea. Just,
mm-hmm.
And that's a heavier, a deeper conversation than what we're really having right now. I didn't want to go too far into that, but I appreciate where you're coming from. With the little time that we got, though, Josh, let me let you tell me about this. At the end of the day, Josh, if let's say we got 100 children off the street, Josh, and none of them knew anything or was interested in knowing anything about the Bible, do we reject them, Josh, or do we embrace them where they are to make sure their lives are enriched, that they're healthy and productive?
Rich and healthy, of course.
Okay. Can you do that?
Of course. That's easy.
That's easy. Can you do that effectively without necessarily saying that you're coming from the Bible? You may be inspired to address them and do that, enrich your life but can you do that without necessarily having to say, because the Bible says. You understand my question,
72? Yeah, I do, and I absolutely believe that you can do that. And again, in doing that would be, like I was saying earlier, to be just living example in your daily walk, your daily life, you know. So, yes, absolutely.
That's what's missing, 72. we see more people talking about things and little example of how that has worked for them. For instance, and I believe that God is able to heal and deliver you from any.
Oh, yeah. Yes.
Huh? But we saw just recently how people ducked and run, and it looked like they didn't really believe that. But they were more afraid of a virus and the disease killing them than they were of what they said God is able to cure. And does that make sense to you?
Yeah, and I mean, I'm going to be honest. I mean, these people that's running around here clutching Bibles and yelling the loudest and this and that, I'm honestly more concerned and more, I guess, watchful of them because of, I guess, my disbelief. I've been there and done that with people trying to manipulate and, you know, brainwash you just – not for God, because if that's the case, okay, you can do that to me, but to suit your own thing is not right.
Mm.
It's not right at all.
Real quick.
Hold on. Pastor Wall was trying to say something, then we'll come back to you. Go ahead, Pastor, what were you saying?
Yeah, more on to what you were saying than I am, because when you come down to utilizing the Bible, and of course, you know, you have all those different type of opinions, that's why it's good to get the truth. So let me just share what the word says right here. He says right here, do everything without grumbling. And then it says, or arguing. So that, and this is scripture now, and it says, so that you may become blameless and pure, children of God, without fault, in a warped and crooked generation. Then you will shine among them like stars in the sky. You see, and it says, you know, because it said, work out your own soul salvation with trembling. And that's why it says, you know, just avoid all that old arguing and things like that, because those kind of people, you know, is going to try to throw you. And when you don't go for it, and they're going to continue trying to throw you, it's like, you should look and avoid that kind of stuff. Because what you get ready to get into, you know, there's no killing about God. Don't get in no argument with them because you're getting ready to stir up something that's not even necessary. So stand on the word of God and keep on pushing. You know what I mean? Because it says, it made it real plain. Do everything without grumbling or arguing. You see what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
Because if they're not going to utilize the word of God to help somebody, then they got to utilize it to hurt somebody. You know, and that's the thing about it. You got to use it for the positive or the negative. And when you say something about how sharp that word is, Pastor Dawson, you said the word of God is quick and sharp. In other words, he can detect when the enemy is trying to throw some shots. You see what I'm saying? And that's what you've got to be able to discern. That's why he said you've got to be able to discern, because he knows the intent of your heart. That's why he says the heart fixer. I used to hear him say that, but I didn't know him. And then I found out, man, he really is. He's a fixer. That's why he transforms an individual according to the word that I experience. I'm that individual that experienced that word of being transformed to the renewing of my mind, because my mind was once upon a time caught up, man. Mm. I took the word. Nothing and nobody's going to strip me from that. There is no way. It's like a waste of time, and it'd be a waste of time for me to try to convince somebody, which is something that I don't do, to make them say, look, come on over here and try this. No, I'm not going to do that, man. That's not fair to what I've learned. You know what I mean? So I appreciate the word of God so much that I just have to stand up and get credit where it's due and just, you know, keep on pushing. So 37:2, it was well said. You know, you're doing it for the, you know, the love. And, you know, if you're doing it for that reason, that means you're being God. He's just to, you know, he's deserving of it. But if you're trying to take what God is doing, that's saying you know more than God. You know what I'm saying? Mm. Man, that's tough, brother.
Okay.
That's tough.
All right,
man.
But you know,
then we'll squeeze Josh in here before we have to cut out.
Yeah, let Josh come on. Get on in there, Josh. Do your thing.
Okay. I was about to say, trust in God with all your heart and lean not on other understandings.
Okay.
It says that I'm saying that to mean you have to read the Bible for yourself. You have to interpret it how you feel that it makes you feel inside, that belly, that skin, that it's you, that it's actually you that has to take it and decipher it.
Okay.
And it's you that has to do the searching for yourself at the end of the day.
Right.
And that's all I'm saying. And that's the end of my preaching.
Go ahead, say it, Lord.
Well, you know, what is the Trinity? What have you been taught or conditioned to know of the Trinity?
It has to do
name
with
each one.
The Godhead, the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit.
The Godhead, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. You know, that was created at the Council of Ephesus. Now, before that, the Trinity has always been the Father, the Mother, and the Child. At the Council of Ephesus, they took the woman, the female, out of the Trinity and replaced it with a Holy Ghost, Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. You can see it today if you go to Abel's symbol. And you can see Shekmet, Ramesu the second, and Ra Harakhe. They carved there in the Holy of Holies in the back of the temple. So what I'm saying is, well, unfortunately, people ain't going to go there. No, they can't. So they have to be given what others took from there, and they created their own, and they sold it to the world by force. The Romans sold it by force. But here's the thing, too. You talk about Ten Commandments. The Declaration of Innocence has 42. And within the 42, you can find the Ten Commandments. And before the 42, there was 147 Declarations of Innocence. And you can see the scene where the person is being brought before the judgment. And on the scene, you see a scale where the person's heart is balanced against the feather of Ma'at, truth, justice, righteousness, and so on and so on and so on.
Okay.
And above, you got 12 judges.
Okay.
12 judges that have to vote in the affirmative for the person to go on into the other world. That's what existed thousands of years ago.
Sounds very interesting. Sounds very, very interesting.
And, you know, it must have worked because look at the things that those people built. Blacks in America ain't built nothing like that. Africa's on the African continent, furthest down in the center and south. They ain't built nothing like that.
I take your point, big brother. I take your point. Unfortunately, we don't have enough time to really dive into that thing.
We don't.
And it's our time to do our round robin, give everybody a final thought. And but, you know, it's, I appreciate you at least offering something for consideration because at the end of the day, you got to know where you're coming from and what you're about. So that's a good list.
And I'm going to finish. Let me go first, if you don't mind, because you're almost
right
done. And to go to show you how the husband loved his wife, Ramesu the second, that temple is dedicated to him through Ra Harakhe. But you know what's on the side of that temple? He built one for his most beloved wife, Nefertari. Mm. Beautiful temple. It's tall as a 10-story building.
Okay.
And you go inside, it's adorned with beautiful. He built that for his wife.
For his wife, huh?
His most beloved wives, because he had more than one. But his most beloved was Nefertari.
He
Josh, we're not going to go there. Just go give us your final thoughts on the night.
Final thought.
Tomato, tomato, yeah. Josh. Potato.
I love the that's it.
Yes, sir.
It was a great thing today.
Yes, sir. We're glad you joined us, and I learned a great deal from your contribution to our discussion. Thank you so much. Thank you so very, 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 very much. Okay, and not to rush you, but we got to get 72 in here before we turn it over to Pastor Waller to wrap it up. Thank you again, Josh. All right, 72, give us a final thought right quick, darling.
I was just going to say it was a good show, and I agree that people should try to get to read the Bible and know God first for themselves.
Amen. Amen. That's so true. That's so true. Thanks for staying up with us. I know you've been working long hours, Pastor, so we're glad when you can jump in here with us. We appreciate you.
Yeah.
All right. With that, go ahead, Pastor. You got the floor, Pastor.
Hey, man, I just thank God for everybody who had a chance to participate. You know, but most of all, it's all about the Word of God with me, and I just trust that someone heard something tonight, caused them to draw a little bit closer to Him. Now, the word says in the book of James, chapter 4, verse number 7 and 8, it says, submit yourself to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you.
My God.
But I like the part of 8 when it says, draw close to God, and he will draw close to you. It's good to know that go to God, you can make the enemy flee. But after the enemy flee, you don't have to see him. Just make sure you draw close to God, because God will draw close to you. That's a good God to serve right there. Amen.
Yes, sir.
And
yes, sir.
Stay
hooked up, huh? Stay plugged in, huh? All right. Well, listen, it has been a great discussion, and we appreciate everybody. And until next Tuesday night, we'll see you, and we'll let the mighty clouds go to order my steps in your word, dear Lord. We'll see y'all for another episode of Talk Script.
Well, I can lose.